This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Primetime on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game, played nowhere else on earth. It is a rare game. The men who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app. Download the app, make the fan your favorite station, and enable push notifications for the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and your favorite shows.
That's going to make the difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's your Sports Bros, hour two of four. We do 4 hours a day here on The Fan and on radio.com, the app. All around the world, you can hear us. So, it's 4:03. What?
Nothing.
Hello.
Hi, Mike. I've got some college football junk drawer news coming up for you.
Okay, getting ready for the Big Ten.
Yeah, in bowl season.
Yeah, or the soon-to-be season of bowls, as you like to call it.
There's an official name now.
Okay. I didn't know there was really an unofficial name.
Oh, just wait.
All right.
In the news is coming up here at 4:30, as you have come to expect. I have very bad COVID news today.
We need our news.
But I do have some positive news, if you like to bowl.
If you like to bowl?
Yeah.
My son likes to bowl.
Or skate. Do you like to skate?
No.
You go to skating rinks?
No, I do not. Falling at this point in my life is not something that I'm into. That hurts. My son, though, he wanted to go bowling for his birthday. He likes to go throw some
bowling is universally fun.
Yeah.
But also,
But you can't do it now.
It's just a drinking thing. Yes, you can.
Or can you?
Also, Portland area homeless will soon be getting free Wi-Fi and coffee. I have a story for you.
Oh, I'm sure people are going to be thrilled about that.
That will be at 4:30. But no, I'm calling it bowl season. I can't believe you guys haven't seen this.
What?
It was very big news today that the college football playoff and New Year's Six bowls and the college football like bowl association group.
Yeah.
You know, there's like a million groups.
Sure.
And they're all like ADs or presidents of different universities. I don't know. Football Bowl Association, FBA, okay?
All right.
They have come out with a big press release saying that they rebranded the college bowl season.
Okay.
Because you remember when they made it college football playoff? And we were like, wow, so original.
Oh, and then the logo.
How did you name that?
Which was like a shape of a football.
How many Zoom meetings did it take for you to come up with this?
You know, some firm probably got paid $500,000 to come up with that.
It will now be called bowl season.
Oh, wait.
Which is way better than the old name of bowl season.
Man, I was sort of right on with my guess of them just switching a couple words around.
You pretty much nailed it.
Yeah.
The Football Bowl Association is getting a new name and brand, bowl season. The debut of the name change logo and website for the organization is part of a major brand overhaul announced today by executive director Nick Carparelli.
Boy, and I'll tell you what, that logo makeover.
Yeah.
It's just a football.
Pretty generic.
Like, it's literally just a football. And it says bowl season.
Can you imagine how that meeting went down? Like somebody walks, nobody walks in anymore. Everybody's working remotely. So it'd be like some email like, hey, we need a name for bowl season, guys. Somebody says, how about bowl season? Love it. Meeting
done.
Adjourned.
Great. What do we do with the logo? How about we put a football and we put it in the middle of a stadium because, well, it's a bowl, but it's a stadium and it's a season.
If you think about it, it was confusing. I mean, what did we call it before when all those teams were playing in bowls at the end of the season?
I believe we called it bowl season.
Oh. Mm. Well, anyway, now it's been rebranded to bowl season. The tagline is a celebration of college football, embracing the grand tradition of the bowl system and its enduring value to student athletes.
I don't know if there's something that I hate more but enjoy watching more than college football. I love watching college football, but just the everything that goes along with it, from the stupid NCAA to all the different committees to crap like this, it's just the most ludicrous thing in the world. And paying players and the investigations, and, you know, Arizona got their notice of allegation today, but they're not going to share it because apparently they're still under investigation. LSU self-imposing penalties, but who knows what the hell will come of that? Probably nothing. Just there's nothing that makes sense. Nothing about the world of college athletics other than we love to watch it.
Did you hear the Washington football team will be participating?
In bowl season?
Well, yeah.
Of course. Even if you don't win a game, remember now, because anyone can be a part of bowl season. Anyone.
Anyone. So listen to this, BS. Carparelli has collaborated over the last 6 months with leaders of the 44 bowl games, each of the 10 FBS conferences, media partners, and other stakeholders to build consensus and solidify plans for a new brand.
What?
He says, quote, for four decades, the Football Bowl Association has served as a staunch advocate of the bowl system, but until now, it's been a behind-the-scenes organization designed to facilitate conversation among bowl leadership and stakeholders. Since joining the organization last spring, I've listened to our membership's clear desire for a new identity to rebrand the FBA to speak directly to those who love this sport.
Is this just a case where we needed an excuse for these guys to make more money? And so now that you're an official entity, you can scrape out a few more bucks, get like a fancy new title on your door. I'd also like to point out that the best thing that I've ever seen involving any of the bowl season stuff, what was his name? Was it Younger? That guy that was working for the Fiesta Bowl. And he got caught embezzling money and going to strip clubs and using that as like using bowl funds to fund his strip club parties. And his excuse was he was going to strip clubs in Arizona so that he could better identify where to steer kids and members of the bowl committee away from. That is a legitimate excuse that guy used.
That's important work.
It is important work.
The new name and visual identity were developed by Connecticut-based 1919 Productions and Joe Bosack and Company. Tony Fay, public relations based in Dallas, was hired to oversee communication efforts of the organization.
Good, so, good grief.
1919 Productions came up with bowl season.
Boy, they did a great job.
Now, on that note, a lot of bowls are now being canceled.
Yes, like the Holiday Bowl.
So the Holiday Bowl was the first, but today I read that the Fenway Bowl is off. Did you know there was a Fenway Bowl?
I did not know that there was a Fenway. I know there's one at Yankee Stadium. I think it's called the Pinstripe Bowl.
That it is.
And the Myrtle Beach and LA Bowls are in doubt.
But, those were new ones, right?
Those are new ones.
Like a bunch of new ones are like, yeah, we'll wait.
So now they're saying out of the 44 bowls, there's actually only 34 now that are probably going to even play, and that could be far less by the time we get to December when everybody's dying of COVID.
Can I just say thank God? There's too many bowl games. There's just way too many bowl games.
And I that's the one thing I'll defend the bowl season. Or, yeah, now that it's officially bowl season, I'll defend it.
I'll defend bowl season.
I'll
TM.
Defend bowl season. I never don't watch them.
Well, look, I don't.
It's
gives too many average to mediocre teams a postseason break.
But here's why I like it. Because most average to mediocre teams, which is the vast majority of college football teams, will never get to play for a national title. They're never going to get to play in a Rose Bowl. And so at the end of the year, when it's been a long, crappy season, you get to go to a bowl game. You get to get drunk with your buddies. You get to get a crappy bowl ring that you can say that you participated in something. And you get a trip to a part of the country that you've never been before. And, yeah, you practice, but no one really takes it seriously. And you get to hang out for a week somewhere cool. I'm a big fan of the bowl games. And, you know, it's programming for ESPN and Fox. And it gives us something to watch while we day drink over the holiday season.
And bet.
I'm all for the bowl season. As many as you want. And if it's a crappy game, don't watch it.
Okay, there's one other bit of renaming news
Out
there in the sports world today that I want to corkscrew in here for you.
By the way, I looked real quick. That is John Junker was the Fiesta Bowl guy. He got 8 months in prison for that.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So what was the worst part? What did he do? Embezzling? Or?
Yeah, he was taking money and, you know.
Using it for his own.
Using it for his own stuff.
Like somebody texted, said, okay, boys, here's a list of hookers to avoid. I know from personal experience.
Yeah, he can serve no more than 2.5 years in prison, but they expected him to be out in 8 months. I'm trying to see if he's been released.
Wow.
But yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
So the Pepsi Center in Denver?
Yeah, I saw this one.
That's where they play.
It's been the Pepsi Center for a long time.
That's where the Nugs play?
Mm-hmm. And the Avalanche. And it's actually it's not a bad building.
That has been renamed.
I know. And I when I saw this, I was confused.
Well, the new name is going to be Ball Arena.
Ball. Now, what is Ball?
It's a corporation.
I figure it as much. And to be honest with you, I didn't care enough to go digging through it. I just, what does Ball do?
Ball goes into hoop.
Well, Ball goes into lots of stuff. But in this case, what exactly is this Ball? What is it doing?
I think it's one of Kroenke's companies.
It's hanging there.
Ball Corporation is the world's leading provider of innovative, sustainable aluminum packaging for beverage, personal care, and household products. So there you go.
Okay.
BLL on the New York Stock Exchange if you want to pick up some stock.
So now when you're taking the tram, you can be like, hey, where are you going? I'm going to Ball.
Trading at 92.
Going down to the Ball.
Yeah, I think there will be some jokes
probably,
and they probably want that.
Yeah. You know, hey, gets their name out there. Now we know what Ball does. I didn't know before this.
Yeah, so I think it's one of Kroenke's babies.
Okay.
Because it looks like it has an affiliation with SoFi Stadium in L.A., which is Kroenke's new stadium out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Nugs will play in Ball Arena.
The Nugs and the Ball. I love it.
And the Av.
Still better than Avs. It's still better than T-Mobile, whatever the hell that thing is up there. The pink.
I don't know that it is, but
you'd rather play in the pink
than
the
T-Mobile Ball? Is just a generic corporate name. Ball Arena sounds too.
I kind of enjoy Ball Arena.
It's a little squirrely for me. But
do you prefer Ball Arena or the KFC Yum Center?
I'm gonna go KFC Yum Center.
Yeah, the Yum Center is great.
I think that's great. That name kind of works in a funny way.
All right.
I don't know that Balls does. You know?
It's just Ball.
Yeah, it's just Ball. Don't try to throw an S on it.
Or a Z if you're trying to be edgy.
For the Gen Xers, Balls. Those are only if it's extreme Balls. And the extreme, by the way, has like 6 X's on it.
Well, it has no E. It's just XXXX extreme.
All right, Joe Buck explains the flyover clip. You want that?
Yeah, there's actually a real explanation for it.
Yeah, we'll get to that next. Before in the news on the Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Some texts. We got kicked in the ball tonight. I like that.
That's a good one. You can combine them and have the Yum Ball.
Balls deep. Now the term for the three-point shot of the Nuggets.
Good times. By the way, I found some details on Mr. Junker.
Yeah, I was just reading an article about him.
Yes, he's out of prison now. He was making $600,000 a year working for the Fiesta Bowl. He's now making $47,000 working at some hospital.
No, they say he makes 60 now.
60? Oh, he's been bumped up.
Yeah, but he makes less than some of the people that are under him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
he got whacked down. So he got out of prison on October 14th of 2014.
Okay.
And they say he has had a hell of a time rebuilding his life, but he did get a lifeline from an old friend. And so he has a kind of a somewhat normal life now, but
yeah, for a while there, I mean, he was viewed as one of the more powerful guys in football. I mean, he was a big deal there at the Fiesta Bowl, but yeah, I mean, he was misappropriating, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. He would donate money to campaigns, and then those campaign contributions would get kicked back to the employees. So basically, he was just writing checks, basically bonuses to himself and other people, sometime to the tune of upwards of 40, 50 grand. The strip club one that I remember that I had referenced was there was a Bourbon Street, I guess, is a strip club in Arizona. And on one of the trips, they spent $1,200 on his Amex card that he got reimbursed for. And then when they were going through in the audit, Junker did acknowledge that, because he just wrote it down as food and beverage on the expense report.
Yeah, got to be vague.
And they pressed him on it, and it says the Junker did acknowledge that more than $1,200 spent at Bourbon Street that evening was not probably spent on just food and drink, but, quote, and these are his words, in all likelihood did include payment to women for dances. He also said this was his excuse. We're in the business where big, strong athletes are known to attend these types of establishments. It was important for us to visit, and we certainly did conduct business while we were there. That was his defense of the $1,200 strip club. It was important for us to visit. We did conduct business. Therefore, he felt that he could be reimbursed for those $1,200.
So he said he hasn't talked much about his world.
Yeah.
But there's a really good article on him, actually. I'm still going through it. I think maybe we're reading the same thing, but it's a pretty long read on him. But they say through it all, he did manage to keep his house. So they do live in the same house. But they said when asked if he would ever run a bowl again, Junker did not rule out the notion.
Why would anyone let this jackwagon run their
bowl?
He
said it's very unlikely. He said, I love what I'm doing and the people with whom I work with. There is zero chance of anyone extending me the opportunity to run a bowl.
Yeah.
He still has a handful of old canary yellow blazers in his closet, but encourages any Fiesta Bowl officials to drop by and take them if they are in need. He says he has two probation officers who aren't crazy about his old life intersecting with his new one, because he does use some of his contacts in football and in media.
Sure.
Often. And so they're like, yeah, John, you kind of need to just start a new life, buddy.
Yeah.
He did, but he's not doing that.
He did also expense a $33,000 birthday party, which I would like to attend. I don't know what $33,000 buys you for a birthday party, but I'm guessing it's a pretty kick-ass time.
Bill Byrne, Texas A&M AD, although I think is he at A&M? He might be at Alabama now, or is that Greg?
Byrne is at
Alabama.
He's at Alabama.
Bill Byrne?
Oh, no, that's Greg Burns at Alabama. I don't know
This quotes Texas A&M AD Bill Byrne, former Texas A&M AD Bill Byrne. The executives he lavished and befriended still speak highly of him. As Byrne said, Junker is one of the smartest people he has ever met. Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith calls him a good man who made bad decisions.
Oh, okay.
And White says Junker has some magic to him.
Mm-hmm. God. College football is such a absolute cesspool.
Hey, man, we love him.
Yeah.
Hey, man, did great things out here.
Yeah, he was great.
Fiesta Bowl, man.
Yeah. I bet you, because whenever Gene got to go to the Fiesta Bowl.
Just a little mistake.
I bet he had a grand old freaking time.
Just a little mistake.
Yeah.
He even says that. Like, he kind of sounds pretty. I mean, he's been humbled.
Sure.
For sure. But he also has a quote in here. I can't find it now. That damn thing is too long. But he said something to the effect of, look, I've had 30 years of public service. You know, it sucks that I'm now, you know, just a couple bad decisions wipe that all away. And it's just like, man, do you really get it?
No, he doesn't. And there was BYU was always pissed at him. There was the 96 BYU went 14-1 and was like the seventh or eighth team in the country. And the Fiesta Bowl passed on them. And I think they gave it to Penn State, if I'm not mistaken. It was either Penn State or Ohio State. And one of the things that kind of came out of that is they liked the, let's just say the time that the Penn State crowd and their AD and those people would have down there would be much greater than the time that BYU. And there was always the rumors that BYU was passed over because BYU didn't play ball and that those cats did. I mean, that guy was dirty from day one. And I love that. Oh, it's just a poor decision. I it's a couple hundred grand between friends, misappropriated funds.
Oh, man. All right. Joe Buck has explained the remarks of he and Troy Aikman in that clip that went viral of them discussing the military flyovers.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
That's a big nothing burger.
Why do you say that?
No, their explanation is it's perfect. I mean, it's not. you know, people.
Well, I think it's probably a Big Nothing Burger anyway. Like, well, nobody really.
But, you know, there's a certain group.
There's always people on social media, but
they're all kinds of fired up.
They're ignorable. He explains, he says he was asked by his Daddy Issues co-host, Oliver Hudson. See, Joe Buck has a podcast.
Yeah, everyone.
And it's called Daddy Issues.
That's a little weird.
Everyone has a podcast.
Yes.
Literally everyone. Including, I found out that Jason Bateman has one now.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I'd be, well, is it?
Probably
is it?
Not.
Probably not.
It is a little disarming, or like when you go to, like, I like podcasts. I'll listen to them when I'm running or on the bike or whatever. But there is such a giant, I don't know, like, choice. It can be quite difficult.
How do you cut through the?
I know. I believe me. You get about 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes when I try a new podcast before I'm like, nope, and you're moving on to the next one.
So he said. So he was asked by his Daddy's Issues co-host, Oliver Hudson, whether Fox is trying to find out who leaked the audio clip, and Buck's answer. Is this, quote, that person will get found out because that specific shot of that flyover, which I personally thought was old and a tape that they were running out of the truck as furthering our conversation that we were having internally, I thought that was on tape, but it was actually live. Mm. But it wasn't a Fox shot. They know whose shot that was, and therefore they kind of know where our audio was going at that moment. It wasn't going out onto TV. It was well before our game. So I see this, and Troy in the microphone is repeating something that he had heard the night before from an unnamed person on our crew. This person happens to be very far left and said, well, under Biden-Harris, you know that's not going to happen. And Troy was just repeating that. Watching the flyover, he was sort of mocking that person.
It was not a hot mic situation. They were right. They were just talking.
Yeah, yes.
It was rehearsal.
So that's why he's saying they know who has that audio because, or who released the audio because it'd be the only people that could hear that time. So they clip that as if he's saying that and as if he's a Harris Biden fan, but he's repeating something that somebody said the night before, which is unbelievable. If you know Troy at all, he was being 100% sarcastic, repeating for the person in the truck to hear, like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah. And then I go into a 1950s voice like, there's your hard-earned tax dollars at work or whatever.
Yeah.
Again, repeating parts of conversations to our crew, and they clip that and then run a headline that Troy Aikman and Joe Buck bash flyovers, which it had nothing to do with any of that. It was a political conversation amongst our group that somebody clipped and sold for the exact reason that we're doing this. And it stirs people up, and words get weaponized, and then people have to weigh in. Oh, well, screw those guys. They don't like the military. What? Buck then went on to share some personal details he said he had never talked about publicly before, and he was talking about his dad. His dad actually earned a Purple Heart in World War II.
Hmm.
You know, his dad was a broadcaster.
Yeah.
So, anyway, that's the explanation.
Yeah, so that was – it's just such a crappy thing to do to someone, right? You know exactly what they were doing, and you sold someone out and really took someone's words and turned them into something that they weren't. That's ridiculous. To try to make someone look bad and to piss some people off.
I think it's great that Buck and Aikman are joking around like that.
Yeah. I mean.
I love that. Because I think they're a great duo. I don't have anything against either of them except that every day when we expect Troy Aikman to call in at 4:30, he still never does.
Doesn't happen.
But I think Buck's great.
One of these days.
And they're just a classic duo. I just think I would love to hear more of their outtakes of them just goofing off. Because they're pretty, you know, on the broadcast, they're buttoned up.
Yeah. Whoa, look at South Florida.
What about them?
How would you describe that uniform combination that South Florida is bringing?
I can't see it. The lights are off.
Well, now they turned off the damn lights.
Tulsa, South Florida is on TV?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. And South Florida, do we need to see that?
Well.
This is Mike's point about bowl games. That's probably a future bowl game.
Maybe they're starting bowl season just a little bit early this year.
Who's South Florida's coach now? Charlie Strong?
No, South Florida. Is that South?
It's not Charlie Strong.
Is it Willie Taggart?
No.
FAU.
He's FAU. There's too many Florida schools.
Guy by the name of Jeff Scott.
We've done this once before.
Yeah, I know.
Jeff Scott is the most generic name ever, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah, he was the former Clemson co-offensive coordinator.
Yeah. Too many Florida schools.
Who's Tulsa's coach?
No idea. Although I think we've probably looked that up at some point too.
Tulsa good? Philip Montgomery.
Yes. Maybe.
Good little coach?
I guess.
26 and 38. Nope.
Oh, nope. They just got fired.
We done here?
Yeah, I think so.
You got things to say about Joe Buck?
I like Joe Buck. How about
you do?
That? I'm pro Joe Buck. Too many people hate him.
Well, it's 4:30. We're expecting a call from not Troy Aikman.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next, a non-Troy Aikman interview.
That's why we put in the news at 4:30. Aikman never shows up.
It's a placeholder. One of these days.
All right, well, the COVID news is not great, Jace. It is not great.
Didn't expect it to be.
But I do have some local news that is great. So we'll get to that next. Here's Mike.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Well, it is official. Antonio Brown is going to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
I think this puts a lot of pressure on Tom Brady to make this work. And you know, it's not like Tom can't handle a little criticism, but this is clearly something that Bruce Arians did not want. And by all accounts, this is Tom Brady pushing for this and kind of going all in. So if this blows up, and again, not that they're going to fire Tom Brady, but you've got some serious egg on your face, because I'm guessing Brady had to go to Bruce Arians and really put his name on the line, which is kind of what he did when he got to New England. He didn't want Brown cut from New England. And so here you go. But when healthy, I mean, you look at that lineup, you got Fournette, Ronald Jones Jr. in the background. And then you got Antonio Brown, Mike Evans, Goodwin, and Gronk. I don't know of a better lineup that you could run out there. I mean, Kansas City's is pretty good, but they don't have that much talent on the outside. When you look at that, probably a better backfield, and you know, tight end Kelsey's better than Gronk. He's younger, but no one. Goodwin, Brown, and Evans, when healthy, I mean, my gosh, that's an obscene amount of riches
there. Isn't it Godwin?
Yeah. Sorry. What was
Chris
I saying?
Godwin. Say Goodwin.
No, Godwin. Sorry.
Yeah. That's a hell of a tandem.
Yeah.
Or a trio. All right. It is October 23, 2020. It's time for the news. I am your noted newsman. Thank you. Thank you. Now, this is great. I saw this today and I had to laugh out loud. LOL, as they say.
Okay.
Sometimes the kids say that. LOL. It is National Slap Your Irritating Coworker Day.
Oh. Be careful.
What?
They may slap you back.
Yeah, don't slap anyone.
No.
That's an antiquated
holiday. That's a solid, brother.
It is National Croc Day, like Crocs as in the shoesies.
Wait, that has a...
Yeah, it has its own day.
That has a national day? God, is that...
Do you own Crocs?
Really?
Have you ever owned Crocs?
No.
Me neither. I bet you Mike has.
Is that a thing? Do people,
what?
Do people still wear Crocs?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, very popular.
No.
Sure. No?
Very popular. I kind of feel like Crocs are like those. Remember those five-finger shoes things?
No.
The Vibrams, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like those were a thing for like a month.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think they were bigger. But you did always look at Crocs and go, how are those comfortable?
503-250-1080. Please, does anyone out there own a pair of Crocs, and do you wear them? I can't believe that's still a thing. I don't see them anymore, but maybe I'm not looking.
They're out there.
Huh.
It is also TV talk show host day.
There you go. We're kind of on. Well, we were on TV at one point.
Greatest TV talk show host. There's only one correct answer.
Greatest TV talk show host? Johnny Carson?
That's close. David Letterman. No, it's true. It's fact.
It's fact.
Yeah.
It's okay. As you see it. Alternate facts.
550 new COVIDs today in Oregon. That is the highest daily case count of the entire pandemic.
Yeah, the numbers, it's like in 38 states we're going up. And did you see that Idaho may be shipping Portland and Seattle patients real, real soon?
OHSU.
Yeah, to OHSU. And then one of the hospitals up there, and I think it was in Wisconsin, they're doing they're having to do the tents. They're doing kind of the battlefield hospitals out there because we're getting overrun again.
We had over 75,000 new COVID cases in the United States today. That's the second most of the pandemic. Hospitalizations are up 40% in a month. Now, we did get down below 50,000 cases per day for a while, but the virus is now up over 30% over the last 2 weeks.
And I've always said with the case numbers, you know, I don't know. I don't freak out about that. Mine has just always been hospitalizations, right? I mean, we were told that you had to flatten the curve and that this whole thing was about not overwhelming the healthcare system. That we knew people were going to get sick. We knew it was contagious. You can't lock down forever, but you had to avoid, especially with the cold and flu season coming up, you had to avoid the hospital stuff. So that's the only thing that really freaks me out is when I hear things like that, when states are having to outsource care and when you're having to build kind of makeshift hospitals. That's the kind of thing that gets the hair on my neck standing up a little bit.
A lot of people, we have a lot of croc bros. A
lot of croc bros, huh?
Yeah, and they are popular. A lot of crocs out in the wild. Just read the text line, man. As a matter of fact, we got a lot of bros listening to us. They're like, man, I swear by my crocs. I wear them every day.
Interesting.
You know, girlfriend hates them, but I love them. There's one that says a 17-year-old daughter just bought crocs.
Wow. Well, they're like cargo shorts. I can't do it. Can't bring myself.
It's getting so bad with the COVID, Santa Claus got laid off. Did you hear that?
I did not hear that.
He will not be appearing at Macy's in Midtown Manhattan. 160-year tradition of Santa being out there.
No Santa, huh?
They fired his ass. Well, now, here's some good news, and then I'll go back to bad. Or would you like the bad first? Would you like more bad before I get to the good?
I feel like give me some good, and then I need something positive.
Here's what I'll do. I'll give you a bad news sandwich. I've got good, bad, good.
Okay.
The good is that 10 states, case counts are staying relatively low. Okay. Those 10 states are California, Delaware, Virginia, New York, Vermont, Maine, Hawaii, Maryland, Washington, and Oregon.
All right.
So that's good.
Hence other states shipping us their sick.
Yeah, so even though we had 550 new COVIDs,
we're staying pretty flat.
That's pretty low comparatively.
Good.
Now, to some bad news.
All right.
If North Dakota were a country, it would have the world's worst outbreak right now.
Oh,
for
wonderful.
Other countries.
Isn't the North Dakota, is that the, I think she's got the, they've got the governor up there that's always saying, you know, let's just say she's not taking it very seriously. Which
I don't know. I don't know anything about North Dakota. I do know that they had that Sturgis rally, or was that in South Dakota? I don't know.
I think Sturgis is South Dakota.
Okay. Currently, the honor of world's worst outbreak lies with the Czech Republic, and that is based upon cases per 1 million people. They have more cases per 1 million people than anywhere in the world right now.
Okay.
The Czech Republic, 810 per million. Now, North Dakota is at 919 per 1 million, and that's a seven-day rolling average. So that's the worst. North Dakota would have the worst outbreak in the world if it were a country.
Now, so Sturgis is in South Dakota, and Sturgis has the female governor that has been don't tell us what to do sort of thing. She's one of those types.
Okay.
So I wanted to be clear on which Dakota it was. The North Dakota governor is a man named Doug Burgum.
Yeah, the state of North Dakota is so overwhelmed with contact tracing that they're basically just asking their citizens to do it on their own. Huh. They're like, hey, get COVID?
That seems like an effective...
Just tell the people you've been around, okay?
Seems like an effective strategy, right?
Now, more good news. Here in Portland, bowling alleys and skating rinks are allowed to reopen.
Hey, nice!
Is it?
Yeah, it is. I feel awful. I mean, think about it. If you run a bowling alley, what is it? You're like Kingpin or Big Al's or whatever. You've been shut down for 7 to 8 months.
And well, it's great for the businesses, but
yeah, absolutely.
I won't be going.
Oh, well, I can't say
those
that
feel
I'm,
like germ pits to me.
You can't. Well, I mean, you're putting your fingers in balls, and you know,
sure are.
Yeah, other people have been fingering those balls. Yeah. Look, there's a lot going on there. I'm just saying, you know, you can sanitize it, and I'm sure hopefully you take precautions. I feel bad for anyone who was trying to make a living, and then through no fault of their own, it came along, and for 7 or 8 months, you shut down. I feel for any of those people for not being able to try to make a living. So, absolutely, I think it's a good thing, and hopefully, you know, everyone does it responsibly, and, you know, it doesn't lead to all of a sudden, you know, like, oh, well, we're one of the horrid states that's having these massive outbreaks.
You remember the idea of phases? Remember that?
I do remember phases.
When they were talking about that. We don't really talk about that anymore because we've all been stuck.
Sure.
In like regular, you know, like phase one.
Phase one, phase two.
Well, there's only four Oregon counties that are still in phase one, and that's the big ones, Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington, and then also Malheur County. All others are in phase two. So this was allowing bowling alleys and skating rinks to reopen was a revision by the Oregon Health Authority of what businesses could reopen in phase one. And I would say, I mean, if bars and restaurants can be open, why not these places?
Exactly. So again, I don't understand any of the phases. It all confuses and frightens me and how everyone was in different ones and why we went into one or the other. I get why we had to do it. I'm just saying from the get-go, I think it's been a little arbitrary and quite confusing about why this was allowed and this wasn't and this over here is fine, but this isn't. You can have four people at a table, but then five, but not six, and you got to be in the same house. Seems a little wonky in a stunning development that, you know, no response was ever coordinated. Almost like there was a lack of leadership.
It's weird. Coming up next, the Portland area homeless will soon be getting free Wi-Fi and coffee, it appears. And the giant murder hornet problem has been solved.
Well, I don't know about solved, but we've...
In the U.S.
We've struck a blow.
We have struck a blow. We'll get to those items when we return here on The Fan.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
Brought to you by the Radio.com app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's Football Friday, so that means, what does that mean? Hot Five, set your DVR, and then Joey Harrington.
You are correct, sir.
That 5 o'clock hour really is a power hour on
action
Friday.
Action-packed, Pee-wee, action-packed.
But this is in the news for October 23, 2020. I've got a couple more stories for you. When I was saying Portland area homeless will soon be getting free Wi-Fi and coffee, I was joking. Although you could probably, I bet you when people heard that, they were probably like, oh my God, they're actually doing that.
That, honestly, that wouldn't surprise me.
Right. It's like straight out of Portlandia.
Sure.
But no, what I meant was Oregon's homeless crisis is visible almost anywhere in the state. And now two representatives are trying to change that. The pandemic has led to more people on the streets, and the houseless crisis was only made worse by the fires in Oregon. So they are now, so there's like a $65 million request for funds, general fund dollars, from a couple of representatives.
I'm just saying, before you get to the meat of your story, $65 million buys a lot of boats.
Yes, it does.
Just someone talk to me here. You can implement my plan.
So as winter creeps in, Representative Pam Marsh and Alyssa Kenny Geyer want to help secure shelters for the houseless, and they requested $65 million. They want to buy up old hotels and motels.
Oh, okay. That actually...
That's what they want to do.
That makes sense. Right? I mean...
Marsh says...
They're not being used?
We know that the current COVID crisis has been a hit on tourism. Some of these facilities are not doing well, may be available on the market. With COVID, we can't provide shelter in the same way, conventional way that we have in the past, which is basically to invite people to throw a pad on a basement floor or a church. With hotels, both say it offers the ability to help people get on their feet permanently. I don't know how much, like, I don't know. I mean, I get where they're going with it idea-wise, but I don't know how much is out there to get.
And say that, I don't know. I mean, again, the idea makes sense, but I don't know. How much do these places cost? How much do they cost to run? Like you said, what's available? I just like anyone that's willing to think outside of the box, because clearly what we're doing is not working, and ignoring the problem isn't going to help.
Oh,
and
well,
you're not going to get a lot of sympathy, which always amazes me. Like, if you had this many animals, like, that's what we should do, is just tell people, instead of the homeless people, that there's just homeless dogs and cats, and then we'll all lose our ass and be like, this is, we can't stand for this.
I'd jump to action.
Right? If I told you there was a crisis of homeless dogs running around in Portland, people were like, well, this isn't acceptable. We're going to do something about it and find these dogs places to live. But if it's human beings, people are like, whatever. Some idiot out there is saying to put them on boats. I mean, God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, some radio host here locally has been saying, shove them off to sea.
You know, bum voyage. And not necessarily sea, but what about like the rivers? I don't know. I'm floating around out there like a Noah's Ark sort of situation.
Maybe the sound?
It's insane.
The bays?
Set them up? I don't know. Invade the San Juans? Those richy people up there can deal with it. Ship them up there!
You can now pick up COVID test kits at Costco.
Oh, okay.
$130.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I thought it was free. I thought if you get a test and everyone that wants a test gets a beautiful test and it's free. What happened to that?
Actually, they have two tests. They have one that's $130 and another one that's $140 and you get like supervision or whatever. You know how they do it where you get Zoom call?
You get supervision? What?
Yeah,
like Superman? Like I get Hawkeye? I can see across the way?
No, not that kind of supervision.
Oh, I thought like I got a test and then it gave me superpowers.
That is the way you said it.
Supervision.
You said supervision.
I want supervision.
No, it includes video observation where you call in and they're like, okay, spit into this tube and I'll watch you and then mail it to us or whatever.
Okay.
Anyway, $130 or $140 if you'd like. Just right there at Costco.
Pick up
a COVID test.
I seem to believe someone saying many, many moons ago that everyone wants a test, gets a test, and then it was free. And now you're telling me that it's $130.
At Costco it is.
Right.
You can get tested for free.
Did I get a free like hot dog with that or
not at Costco though?
Like a soda or
Primetime Blaine Washington. Do you know where Blaine Washington is?
I do not.
Blaine
should
is I? No, because I had to look it up. So if you should, well, although you're a Washingtonian.
Blaine Washington.
It's way up there, right near the Canadian border.
Okay.
Almost Canada's problem, but not quite.
Oh, it's right by the Peace Arch.
Sure.
By the way, that thing sneaks up on you real, real fast.
After weeks of trapping and searching, Washington State entomologists have found the first ever Asian giant murder hornet nest.
That's right.
In the United States.
We've been trying. Remember, we glued like a little tracker on one, but
he shrugged it off.
What was up.
Yeah, they've been looking for this because these things are invasive, and if they get over here and start spreading, well, we're all going to die.
Yeah.
Via murder hornet. Forget COVID.
2020, murder hornet.
So the nest was found in a tree on a property east of Blaine, Washington, after agents were able to successfully live track a captured hornet that was fitted with the radio tag. Oh, it did work.
Oh, okay.
How
so this one worked. Well, the one that was down here that was closer
hornet.
To us, it did not. The bee shook its tail, and then we weren't able to do it.
So they will destroy the nest on Saturday as part of an effort to eradicate the invasive giant insects before they have a chance to spread farther across the state.
Why don't we just take it and throw it up into Canada and be like, it's your problem now, Great White North.
It is rather unfortunate that they settled in Blaine and not just a little further north, you
exactly.
know?
Exactly.
Because then it'd be like...
We just explained to the bees and we're like, hey, man, or hornets, just move it up the road. I mean, that is right there by the Peace Arch is where you cross over into Canada. You're going up into, like, Vancouver.
Yeah, they're right on the other side, huh?
Yeah, just... Pick that thing up and catapult that sucker over there.
Don't you think we deserve the hornets, though?
Probably.
You know, I mean,
we've been through a lot, though, right?
We have.
We've been through a lot.
A lot of it's our own doing. You know?
I mean, it's right there.
So anyway, that's good news.
Yeah.
We'll finish on that. That's good news.
By the way,
that's not
like the only one. It's just that this is the first blow in the battle against the hornets.
Oh, and it's a battle.
Yes, it is.
All right, the Hot 5 at 5 is next. We'll set your weekend DVR, and Joey Harrington will join us for Hot Football Discussion coming up on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.